G'day, Shorty. How are you, mate?
Morning, man. Hey, quickly, before we get into Super Rugby Australia relaunching, I heard Jamie Rogers talking about Joey Chestnut pounding 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
An inspiration. Yeah.
How many can you both get through, and who wins out of the three of you if we line up some of those Nathan's Franks?
I'm saying Loz for sure.
Loz would be a hot favourite.
What's your over-under, Loz?
You know what, Sean? I reckon in 10 minutes I'd probably be able to do 5 hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, that just puts it in a perspective, yeah. Doesn't it? 75 for
five.
Yeah.
You're doing more than five.
No. You've got more than five in your laws, 100%.
Shawnee would give it a nudge too. Don't worry about that.
Well, Sean's a big man.
Are you going the water the bun technique?
I don't reckon I could eat that. Could you water the bun technique, Shawnee?
No. I just pound it back while it was false and away we go.
Yeah. Any cheese?
No. Clark, you know room for cheese.
No. No gourmet hot dogs in there.
How about the win, though? 33 dogs he won by.
Yeah. I mean, it's daylight second, isn't it?
You could have saved money effort. You just saved it in the tank. You only got to win by one. Just you could have went for lunch.
He's done well over the weekend, and so too did the Queensland Reds, breaking a 7-year run of outs against New South Wales Waratahs on Friday night up at Suncorp. Guys, we're back and running with Super Rugby Australia, and that first half game I thought was really sharp, middleman.
Yeah, what did you make of the standard of play across the two games? I mean, I've been watching a fair bit of the New Zealand competition, and you know, obviously we can't be too harsh being, you know, the first game back after quite a few weeks off, but there's just such a difference in standard, I find, Sean, between the two competitions.
I mean, there was certainly, if we look at that second game between the Brumbies and Rebels in Canberra on Saturday night, but that first game wasn't too bad. There was some decent footy play, some really nice tries strung together, and I guess the best thing to come from that game and looking into the next sort of 8 weeks of competition is we've got some really excited youngsters starting to really hammer through in Aussie rugby, which is nice to see. Tate McDermott was good for the Reds. James O'Connor came in at the back end there to bounce it out to a 6-point win. So there was also some nice touches from some of the Waratahs guys as well. Jack Maddox was excellent. So
he was outstanding.
He was really good. Mm. So I reckon that will be the big uptick we've got to look forward to. Saturday night was certainly a step off what we've seen out of Super Rugby Aotearoa over there in New Zealand. But the Brumbies were too good there for the Rebels. Geez, the Rebels, I'll tell you what, they've got such a tidy-looking squad that I just can't seem to put it together. They were down 24-6 at one stage, rattled back into it, but the Brumbies kicked clear at the death. But, some real work to do down there in Melbourne.
Yeah, Sean, I was going to ask, is it now at the right time or the ideal time for us as rugby fans to actually start building some of these youngsters up to, you know, all kids want is a role model or role models to follow and envy, you know, growing up, trying to play like them in the backyard. Is it now a great opportunity for Rugby Australia particularly to pick a few of these youngsters out and start building them up?
100%. I could not agree any more with that sentiment, Clarky. Like, you've got, I mean, this is the time to do it. I mean, they're playing for a, you know, like a national title or domestic title.
Yeah.
We should be just going balls to the wall, flat out, hardcore, throwing the ball around left and right. I know that was something that I'd read over the weekend that FIFA are pushing with the A-League. They want more entertainment. Well, it should be the same for rugby, 100%, and off the back of that, you can springboard that into a couple of youngsters who are supremely talented and start to elevate them, because we're not going to have Curtly Bill running around in Test Match footy later this year. We've lost Bernie Foley. So much of our headline talent has opted to go overseas. So now is the time for some of these youngsters, because they've got the game, Clarky, they've got the game to back it up.
Agree.
Who are some of these youngsters then, Sean?
Queensland seem to have the majority of them. I mean, there's a couple floating around in New South Wales, but Queensland have got a stack load of them. That Harry Wilson, the number 8, he's a monster. He's a certain wallaby. And then Brad Thorne's managed to pull in a couple of guys from other clubs. Hunter Paisami goes nice. Tate McDermott, that number 9 I was talking about earlier, he's excellent. So these are kids who are long-term wallabies, and I reckon we start climbing into them now and start elevating them so that we've got those replacements and those idols for those guys that are gone.
And Friday night, you'll be able to just skip down to Brookie and see the Rebels up against the Reds. So, Melbourne Rebels being forced to take a home game to Brookvale.
I'll be there. I think they've let they've got 3,500 is what their capacity is on the COVID rules. So as you guys know, Northern Beaches, Sydney, they love their rugby. They'll be there in their droves, as many as they can, to round out that 3,500. And I'd imagine that the Reds will be too good for the Rebels. But I'll be there, middleman, 100%. I'll be there.
Be great to see the Western Force back this week as well against the Waratahs.
Yeah, so they've spent, 3 years now out of Super Rugby after getting the punt from Rugby Australia, and they'll aim up big time there in Sydney as well. They've been hubbing it up in the Hunter Valley. Wouldn't that be a disaster? I don't know if we'd last long up there as a hub in Hunter Valley. What a spot. So they've got the Tars, and away they'll go this weekend and get their campaign rolling. They'll actually be pretty good. They've picked up some ex-Wallabies and some ex-Super Rugby talent to round out that side that's been running around in global rapid rugby.
Rapid rugby. Hey, this one caught my eye on the weekend as well, Shauno. Australian Sevens player Charlotte Casley. She's been offered a contract, it's believed, to go and play in the Women's Rugby League competition over here because of Tokyo being cancelled until next year. Is that a help or a hindrance to rugby union, women's rugby union, here in Australia? What are your thoughts on that?
That's a good question you asked. I do know this, Loz. I know that she'd kill it if she went over. Tiana Penatani, who's an ex Aussie Sevens player, made that transition last year. I think T went across, and within a couple of weeks, she'd gone from the club to that next step up, and then onto State of Origin team with New South Wales. So I think Charlotte Kazik would kill it, but it's a good question you ask in terms of who she kind of promoting, because she brings with her a massive profile. She'd probably be the most well-known of all the Australian Sevens players. She's an Olympic gold medalist. So you know what? It might actually be somewhat of a hindrance to rugby if Charlotte does make that jump across to league, because she would just go so well in it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it on the weekend, and what's the upside for rugby league if she's going to convert back to rugby union? Are you stopping the progression of a young, up-and-coming rugby league player?
Yeah, but I'm looking at it the other way. I'm thinking if I'm rugby league, I'd love to get her into the mix because she brings with her such a profile, and she will dazzle, and she could potentially...
She'd definitely do that, but she'd only be there the short term, so she'd be back into rugby union next year.
These are crazy times, Loz. COVID, we're hit with the
COVID. COVID, we're all going to adapt.
You've got to get creative.
Talking about being creative, mate, how have you handled the lack of high flying and, you know, travelling around the world, business class or first class?
Not great. I'll be honest. Just find myself watching old games that I've called at the World Cup from last year. The commentator just sit there and drink myself away and watch those games and remember better times.
International football, you reckon that'll be on the calendar this year?
I think we're going to be okay for the Australia. I actually caught up with Michael Hooper and had a big chat with him last week. He is pretty much adamant that we're going to get some All Blacks v Wallabies action. It's just a matter of how many games they'll play against each other and where, either over there or here. So we will get international rugby, but the Sevens circuit at the moment is certainly on hiatus. It's just so tricky because if you use that Sevens series as an example, there's 16 teams you bring in from around the world, and there's a lot of logistics that go with it in the current environment. So that's on hold for the moment, but certainly we'll get ourselves some Bledisloe action later this year.
Sean, great to talk to you as always.
Yeah,
mate.
Nice to catch up, fellas. Really nice to catch up. I reckon you should do it. I know you've already had your big sports breakfast lunch, but just maybe a mid-year, maybe a Christmas in July, get a bunch of hot dogs, sit there in French's Forest and just go berserk.
I don't mind it.
And then we'll play cornhole after. Are you a cornhole? Are you into the cornhole?
Cornhole's all time. It's one of the tailgate staples. It's epic.
Have you played it?
Yeah, of course I have.
Gee, we were the last to know about this.
Yep. Oh, no, cornholes all the time. I reckon that's the plan. I reckon you guys get all set up there and get the buns out and get cracking Christmas in July.
On your legend.
See you, boys.